Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be out tonight. Amen. Let's all stand if we will. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate You so very much. Lord, we know You walk beside us each and every day. Lord, we fellowship, Lord, with You each and every day. Lord, we appreciate You. We look at You. Look up to as your special friend in our lives, Lord. Appreciate everything You've done for us, Lord. Appreciate every time You meet us here. Just let Your will be done once more, Lord. Everything that's said and done be for Your glory and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 625 and only believe. That wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. There is power. Turn to page 45, same book. Amen. I really like this little song. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Amen. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness. What a Amen. What a joy it is to walk with Him, saints. Amen. Know you truly have a friend by your side. Amen. Can we sing that little chorus, I am blessed, I am blessed? Is that how you feel tonight? Blessed? Amen. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest. Amen. Hallelujah. I am blessed. I am blessed. Hallelujah. I am blessed. So thankful for what He's done for you. Amen. The sweetness of His Holy Spirit surrounding you every day. Amen. Just walking with that blessed peace. Amen. He is my friend. I am so thankful to call Him friend. Amen. Amen. Brother Gensel, would you mind taking up the offering? Amen. What a blessing it is to serve Him, saints. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we are just so thankful to the house of the Lord tonight with the praise and worship of my heart. Lord, when we look around at the people around us that we maybe go out to work with and see how they're disgruntled, unhappy, complainers, but yet there just seems like there's something bubbling in us, Lord, that we're just at peace and happiness and joy and truly having that fellowship with You throughout the day, Lord, that knowing that You're right there with us and helping us in our tests and trials. Lord, how we're so thankful for that. But Lord, we pray as we come to this portion of the service, just ask that You bless this offering, that it be used for the upbuilding of Thy kingdom. And just have Your way in the remainder of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sing a little chorus, Magnify the Lord with Me. Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Blessed Lamb of Calvary, for His grace, full and free, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Amen.
Tim, would you take the request?
Thank you.
special song for us on their heart? Anyone at all? Amen. Well, let's just all stand at this time. We'll go ahead and ask our pastor to come deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Amen. And we'll sing that little chorus, Footprints of Jesus.
Footprints of Jesus. Precious Heavenly Father, as we have gathered in here again this evening to gather around your precious word, we're just asking, Lord, that somehow this evening that again something would come forth from your word that would be of encouragement or strength or of a greater understanding of the great hour and time which we're in, and of, Lord, what you're looking for and what you're expecting from your little bride. We ask that you would help us now to yield to you and just clear our minds completely out, Lord, from all the things and cares of life and maybe problems some of us went through today, or trials or tests. Lord, truly be tuned into you now and tuned into what your Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to our heart tonight. And again, Father, we just want to give it all to you and yield to you. In your precious holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, again, by God's grace, I count this another, as the prophet would say, a grand privilege to be gathered in the house of the Lord and to be here with saints of like precious faith and people that love the Lord and want Jesus Christ to be Lord of all in their hearts and their lives. It's such a blessing to be around people like that when you're around all the stuff you have to be around during the week and then come in and be around that sweet Holy Spirit. And, you know, people, as I said, truly are sons and daughters of God. Let us turn our Bibles again once more to 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Let's just read that 11th verse. Just kind of like to draw our attention to, again, that scripture we was on last Sunday, and I kind of wanted to go into a message tonight to start on, but I thought, nah, we'll wait till Sunday because I don't want to, it may be too distracting to wait that long and to go into it. So we'll kind of touch on this a little bit again this evening. 1 Corinthians 13, and just try not to hold you too long. That's not our purpose in being here tonight, to try to see how long we can hold you. But you know, some of the greatest messages our Lord Jesus spoke wasn't very long. Just a few words, but my, it was powerful, you know. So we find here in 1 Corinthians 13:8, or I won't go down, 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. So Paul is, again, bringing our attention to our thoughts. We thought as a child. As Brother Brandon put it in another place we read, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, that's something to become a man. You know, when men really become a man, you know, and lay aside all the foolishness in life. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now may the Lord bless you in his word again. You may be seated. And we're just going to speak on something again tonight to draw our attention to, of something to put away as something childish, and trusting that it will help someone. And I know it's help for someone if you'll have your ears open, okay? Because, you know, sometimes, again, you know, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears, and sometimes when the tree's bearing the wrong kind of fruit, you just notice it, you see. So we know God's Word will take care of it if you'll just let it in and ask God to open your heart to so that you'll be an overcomer with this, okay? So we want to speak about one of those childish things at night and that we need to get away from. I won't get to it immediately, but just kind of build up to it. But let's turn to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And, you know, I really enjoy being here, though, honestly. I do. I don't know a better place I'd rather be. I mean, it's my happiness. It's my joy. It's just something wonderful to me. You know, I can't, for the life of me, I just wonder, I mean, what could a person really have if they didn't want to go to service and listen to the Word and gather around and worship the Lord? And, you know, I think, wow, what's wrong with that person, you know? Because it's really the light of my life, you know, and I appreciate God. Appreciate Him giving me this opportunity. Because, again, we may not have this opportunity very much longer together here, you know. And so, you know, we ought to count our blessings. God has given it to us. Amen. All right, so Matthew 7th chapter, and let's begin here at the first verse. Judge not that ye be not judged. That's really powerful. A lot of people don't think about that, but especially in the day and age and time we live in, it's so easy for people to become judgmental. And as I've said before in little messages here and there, that, you know, they'll judge things and judge things of what that maybe they see somebody do or what maybe they're going through, and not knowing the whole story, they don't know what's happening in that person's life. You know, they don't know maybe the trials and tests that person's going through. They might not know what that little sister's going through with her husband, or maybe vice versa, what the husband's going through with the wife, you know, and maybe some troubles and problems going on and so forth. And, you know, and of course, you know, I've seen it so many times, you know, over the years, and especially years in the past, you know, maybe see a little situation going on. Didn't seem like things was going on too good between husband and wife, you know, and maybe the wife would be doing some things she shouldn't do, you know, and you'd hear brothers speak up and say, I'd just get rid of her. I wouldn't put up with it. Not even have a clue what that woman's going through. How do you know that woman ain't going through the change of life? Different things happening. Maybe somebody passed away in their family or something, you know? But we're so, just to draw our attention, we're so just so quick to speak something about somebody and don't have a clue what we're talking about. Now, to do that is so childish. So childish. Now, you may sit there and think, I'm a grown adult, and I've been around the block, as they say, you know, and I know this and I know that. And to do silly things like that, again, that looks like that grown adult man, you know, he's acting like a grown-up in one place in his life, and if nobody's looking, he picks up his pacifier and starts sucking on his pacifier, you know. He hasn't become a man. He hasn't put away childish things. And I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to express to us, it's time that all childishness is put away. If we're going to be the sons and daughters of God, it's time we grow up and be sons and daughters of God and come to the unity of the faith, the fullness of the stature of Christ, you see, to where Jesus Christ is seen in every action. As the prophet would put it and said it, that our actions, all of our actions, every action, declare Christ. Wow. That's a lot of actions. Do you realize how many actions we have in one day's time? And then add it to 7 days a week and then take it to 365 days a year? How many actions we have? And every one of those actions had to be very mature. It would have to be handled exactly the way our Lord Jesus Christ would handle it. Now that's, we're talking about a real thing now. Yeah. He says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, by God's grace, I've lived long enough. I've ministered long enough. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost long enough to be able to see this come back at people. They've done this. That as they judge and made judgment to others and against others, they ended up being guilty of the very same things and even worse things and call themselves Christians. Call themselves believers. Been in Brother Branham's meetings. And yet, fail one simple word. No. So I believe if nothing else, we ought to at least listen to the word tonight and search again, as I say so many times, but search your own life again and make sure there's absolutely nothing there that isn't displeasing to God or anything that's contrary to God's word. Okay? Again, now these things may sound so simple and so childish in itself, maybe so way back there, you know, and so little. But if we can't do the ABCs, how are we ever going to do the algebra? We might think of great revelations and all these things, but what if one word is just tossed out? Because we don't think about it. Maybe the Holy Ghost isn't there like it should be and bringing these things to our remembrance. You know? So we find here, he says here, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" Now that's something small. It's the original Greek one says of like a small chaff or straw or splinter. Yeah, so it's something small. Okay? "Why beholdest thou the mote," in other words, something small, like a little splinter, "in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" The beam, which is a large timber. You know, if any of you, the older folks probably remember, but a lot of the old post-beam barns, you know, they had the big beams in it and wooden pins that held them together. You wonder, how do these things stay together? So many years, you know. The great big squared off beams, you know. I want you to think about that. Great big, nice beam. Maybe a 14 by 14 inch beam. And all these tongue groove put together just right, have stood for many years. But yet here's this great big beam. Now he's telling us here, he says, "Why beholdest thou the mote," the little splinter, "that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother," okay, now how are you going to say to thy brother, "let me pull out the mote out of thine eye," a small little thing, out of thine eye, "and behold, a beam is in thine own eye." Wow. Something to think about, isn't it, sometime? Yeah. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly." Get that beam out of the way, you know. Christ living. Truly living. "Then thou shalt..." Or thou, he says, "then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Okay? Now again, that may sound like some little simple thing, you know. But sometimes we're too focused on seeing other people's problems. You know? And then when we do that, we oftentimes begin, when we gather around, maybe we go to visit some brother's house and sister's house and or maybe on the phone chatting, maybe texting, we begin to express our faults that we're finding in somebody else. And we forget all about our own faults. And as I've said many times, you know, oftentimes You take somebody that's always trying to find fault in somebody else. They've got a lot of faults in their own life. And they're always trying to make themselves look better. So they'll distract people of looking at their faults and trying to make the other person look worse. You see? So now, listen to these things, okay? This is in Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. But I want you to listen to this next verse for this particular little exhortation. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I thought, well, look up that little word press and see what it means. It says here, to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to run after, to press on, or figuratively of one who is in a race, run swiftly to reach the goal. Okay? Now, friends, if we're really interested in pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, we won't have so many distractions of finding faults. It won't be so easy to find faults. Not if you've got your press in the right direction and you're looking for the right thing. You're looking for Christ to have His preeminence in every circumstance in your life. You're looking for Christ to have the preeminence in every decision you make. You're looking for Christ to have the preeminence in every action you have, everything in the way you treat somebody. You're looking for Christ to have that preeminence in your life. And you're not letting anything distract you. And you've got time to look around and find faults. No. Because you've got a different goal in mind. You see, you're looking, your affections is centered on things above. Not on things of the earth. Not centered on things of other people's problems and what they're doing wrong or what you may think they're doing wrong. Again, I'll say this again because I want to make sure we get this pushed on the inside of us. And I'll allow you the opportunity right now if you want. And you can have the opportunity. But anybody that's among you that never has a fault in you, never has a problem, and never makes a mistake, you go ahead and stand right now. How come nobody's standing? Because every one of us is, we make mistakes, we've got faults. Okay, how big and tough you think you are, you still got faults. You still got little things that, and you may not even recognize it. Until the Word comes along and snaps you up and wakes you up and says, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Because we're human. But the goal and desire God has placed in us is to be is just like Him. But I'm going to tell you, we still need to overcome. There's things in life that may trip us up. Yeah. So you're going to sit there and say, I never make a mistake. Everything in my life I do perfect, Brother Steve. You really going to be that serious to tell me that? I can only do one thing is pray for you and feel sorry for you. That you'd be that blind. And you'd be that snarl over with Satan and his tricks. Because it goes right back to that Laodicean church age. Blind, miserable, wretched. No, not. Yeah. And that's the way this generation of people has become. They don't know it, you see. But again, just to wake us up and snap us awake, we all have faults. Oh, yeah, we do. And I do. Every one of us do. Yeah, we do. We don't like those faults. And if we see there's a fault and the Holy Ghost brings us to recognition, friends, there's something in you that screams out to overcome that thing and press your way into that Word and cry out and pray and study the Word. Make sure to see what's going on there, you see. Right. But I'm going to read you a little something, and actually, if Heather's listening in tonight, which she probably is, but she sent this on my phone, and not really thinking about it until actually this afternoon. And I thought, you know, be a good little thing to read. And I don't know who wrote it or where it come from. I don't know that. But it just very fitting. But I'll read it to you. And I want you to listen just and kind of just let it sink into your thoughts a little bit. Okay? Talks about a little lady had went to the pastor, and maybe some of you have heard this before, but I haven't heard it before. The little lady had went to her pastor of her church and said, "I won't be attending church anymore." And it's always a terrible thing for a pastor to have to hear. Oh, I've heard it in the past, believe me. "But I won't be attending church anymore. I won't be coming anymore. I won't be there." Okay? And he said, "May I ask why?" Why, you know, same thing I would do. I mean, may I ask why? Why you don't want to attend no more? And she said, "I see people on their cell phones texting and typing, even during service. Some are gossiping. Some are just aren't living right. Some are sleeping. Some are staring at me. Some are, you know, they're all just hypocrites." Now, while I'm reading this, I'm not going to call your name. But I know you've mentioned the same things. So just listen to this. Will you? Amen. Give me the benefit of the doubt? Okay? The pastor was silent for a moment. Then he said, "Can I ask you to do something?" He asked this lady, "Can I ask you to do something for me? Before you make your final decision of leaving, will you do something for me?" Of course, she said, "Sure, what's that?" He said, "I want you to take a glass of water. You know, fill clear up to the top. Okay? And walk around the church 2 times and don't let any water fall out of the glass. None." She said, "Well, yes, I can do that." Now, here's this lady, you know, she's told the pastor, "I'm leaving. I won't be attending no more." And now he's going to do something here. She said, "Yes, I'll do that." And she went and got the glass of water and walked around the church 2 times. And she came back and said proudly, "It's done." Well, she was so proud that she was able to walk around the church with this full glass of water and didn't spill anything. And the pastor asked her these questions. "Did you see anybody on their cell phone? Did you see anyone gossiping? Did you see anybody living wrong? Did you see anyone sleeping?" She said, "Well, I didn't see anything because I was focused on this glass so that the water wouldn't spill out." And he told her, "When you come to church, you should be just that focused on God." Think about it. Always seeing the problems everybody's got. Yeah. "You just should be that focused on God so that you don't fall." Yeah. Ain't that good? I thought it was pretty good. Huh. "That's why Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, follow other Christians." Ah, oh, because everybody's got faults. Yeah. "Don't let your relationship with God be determined by how others relate with God. Let it be determined on how focused you are on with God." There's the thing. There's the truth. You see? Lord, sometimes we're so interested. Oh, somebody was sleeping. They dropped. I couldn't hear. I didn't pay attention because of this. Or somebody sneezed and this. And somebody that. And somebody this. And somebody was moving around and twitching and this, that, and the other. How do you know that person wasn't in a lot of pain sitting there? Huh? Don't your nose ever tickle when you sneeze? Haven't you ever got tired and got a little sleepy in service? Oh, come on now. Yeah. I'm not condoning these things as right. But I'm just saying, and trying to bring us to recognition, like this little thing saying here, you know, sometimes we've got our focus on the wrong thing. When we really should really be solidly focused on what God's going to tell me in His Word. Now if somebody falls asleep, my goodness, you know, we think that's third-degree murder. Well, you ought to go tell them. That'd be a good one to go tell somebody. There's been times I've been pretty tired. I'm listening maybe to a minister and I'd get a little sleepy and I'd wake myself back up, you know. What if Paul, we'll skip over this. What if Apostle Paul would have had the wrong attitude with this? In the book of Acts 20, in the 7th verse, I'll begin. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Wow. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now what if Paul would have, he had no business sleeping. Can he stay awake? Can she stay awake? That distracts me because they're always nodding around or doing this, that, and the other. Again, I'm not taking up for you sleep. But I want you to listen. What if Paul would have had the wrong attitude? But I know this one thing. Apostle Paul had the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And Paul went down and fell on him. And embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed, and then they brought the young man alive. Wow. And were not little comforted. Think of that. What if Paul's attitude would have been, he shouldn't have been sleeping anyhow. I was preaching. Look how easy it is for people's attitudes to judge wrong, to think wrong, and just be wrong. Because, so distracted because maybe somebody's child, and I don't condone somebody's children up moving around doing this, making noise and carrying on. I'm not condoning these things as right. But where's your focus at? What's most important to you? Oh my. I'll tell you what. You say, Brother Steve, you still don't understand my situation. Okay? How many times you see people at the ball games, at the race cars, and people are doing all kinds of crazy things. But you've got your eyes peeled on that certain race car, and everything around you can be blown up, but you're watching that one car. You'll be watching that same man out there on the football field, beating his head and this, that, and the other. And you, everything else will be around you screaming. Maybe throwing popcorn. Maybe someone over here is distracting doing this and that. But you've got your eyes peeled on that one football player. You know what it is? It's on what you love the most.
Amen.
To what you stay focused to. Yeah. That's what it all depends on. Saints, it's time we grow up. We might be full-blown grown male and female,
But up here spiritually, we're a little bit cuckoo. And it's time we grow up and be a man and a woman. And handle things the same way the Lord Jesus Christ would handle it. Yes. Again, I repeat, I don't condone things distracting people and this, that, and that in the service. By no means. But when it puts little thoughts in my mind, I sense me even being there. Ain't no sense of me even coming. There's so much going on around me, this, that, and the other. You better get your focus right. Yeah. Because I'll guarantee you, you probably don't sit there perfect either. You going to sit there and tell me you've never distracted anybody in service? Oh, look out. Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. I'm just trying to hit a base, friends, and drive a nail. It's time we grew up in everything. And quit picking and choosing of what I think I'm matured in Christ with, and then be way off on other things. It's time we search our lives and make sure there's nothing there that we ain't matured in Christ with. Everything's matured. Now, do we sit there and say, well, brother, you might as well forget me, because I'm going to tell you what, there's just going to always be problems with me, this and that. Where's the desire at? To become a man and put away childish things. Where's the desire at? You know? You see, I'm not hurting anybody. It's time we wake up on some of these things. Amen. It's time we grow up and be sons and daughters of God. Yeah, I'd much rather be preaching on something else, you know. But, friends, you know me. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's just the way I am. I can't help it. And if I hurt feelings, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I just want you to grow up. Saints, honestly, if I had to be put in some churches and some of the stuff going on, I'd probably never sleep. I'd be so tore up. I would just be so uneased to chip and to clean and to get rid of. I couldn't rest. But God has blessed us here. We're growing up. We're becoming sons and daughters of God. But there's still some little things here and there. We need to be like Christ. And I'm here to warn you and to bring to your attention. If there's anything at all, it's not like Christ. It's my duty to bring it to your attention. You see? Not to pick at you. Not to bring your faults out. No. But that's my job. If I didn't bring these things to your attention, what good would I be? We wouldn't be maturing. We wouldn't be coming to the unity of the faith. We wouldn't be coming to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But God gave the church men to do this. By God's grace, I believe I'm one of them. Not the only one by no means, but I believe I'm one of them. And I just trust God will help me to yield to Him to let me use Him. Or use me, you see, to do so. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Be seeking those. And if you're seeking those things above, you ain't got time to find fault. If your whole attention is drawn on seeking Christ and doing exactly what He wants you to do, you're going to not pay attention to all these things around you. Just like at the ball game, at the car races, or whatever it may be. Tell me there ain't a bunch of craziness going on with those things. But you watch how focused people get on that certain player, that certain car, or whatever it may be. They get so focused in on it, they don't know even what's going on around. There can be people down in the next set of bleachers that got blown clear up and they hardly even notice what happened. Yeah. Just that so focused and so attentive to it. We can only become that attentive and that focused on what God is speaking to His Word. Oh my. Hallelujah. All right. But you know, we'll close. But think about this, friends. I want you sisters, come on up. But what if David, what if King David would have been more focused on that giant? His size, the spear, the height, the weight. What if he'd been more focused on that? But he was focused that that was an uncircumcised Philistine that was defying the armies of God. And he knew that if he killed the bear and killed the lion, he was more than able through God to kill that Philistine giant. Yes. What if Moses would have been focused on the Red Sea? The terrible thought of this great sea before them and Pharaoh's army coming up behind him. And my, looking upon all this terrible situation. And the people murmuring and saying, we should have just stayed back in Egypt. He wasn't focused on that. He was focused on God promised he would deliver him. And God delivered him. He didn't pay attention to all that whining around the children of Israel was doing. All their complaining, all their murmuring, and this, that, and the other. He wasn't focused on that. He was focused on doing the will of God. Oh my. How focused are we on being that concerned that this rapture is about to take place and I can't miss anything. Nothing. I've got to get it. It's got to be gotten right. You see, how focused are we? Well, if we get focused right, friends, things around you is going to be awful dim. Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be distracting now. You're just going to have your eyes centered on things above. You're going to be pressing so greatly that you won't be finding fault in everybody. You'll be too concerned about making sure everything's all right with this guy. Everything's all right with you, you know? Is this okay?
Amen.
I hope it is. Saints, I just want everything to be right for our Lord. He has laid his responsibility upon his ministry. And they're responsible. And they must be focused and remain focused on making sure the sheep eat the right food. Make sure they get the right nutrition. Make sure everything is done just the way God wants it to be. I'm sure that's the way you want it to be too, isn't it? I'm sure it is. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. To his precious word. Think about the little song we sing so many times, but how true it is. I want to live the way he wants me to live. Is that your desire? Amen. Let's sing it together. Brother Timothy, come dismiss us. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Amen. You mean that? Sing it again.
To live the way he wants me to live, want to give until there's just no more to give, want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Amen. Can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. So thankful for God's precious word. Amen. It's always something to measure up by. Just see how much you're growing. Amen. I say, Lord, let me grow some more with what we've heard this evening. May we tuck it in our hearts. And Lord, always bear it about in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we've come to the close of another little service. Lord, of being able to gather with you around your precious word, and how thankful we are that we were able to be here. And Lord, each time we come, how you never fail, Lord, to speak to our hearts. And Lord, to check up and to weigh ourselves in the balance of your precious word, and to say, Lord, is it me? Am I short in this, Lord? And I see a place that I need to climb. And Lord, we thank you that you're ever mindful and you're watching over that little bride, Lord, and you're going to make sure she don't step out of step in anything. She's right in tune with what you want to do. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're watching over me. And Lord, we just thank you for each one that could come tonight, Lord, and we just pray that you'll bless those that couldn't, that wanted to be here. And Lord, you know the needs, you know the reasons. We just ask you to meet it in a special way. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with our brothers. He travels back home, Lord, having a journey there, Lord. I pray you'll bless him, Lord. And I pray that you tarry, Lord, till I wish to be 80 years old, Lord, that I would be able to have the same drive to be at service, Lord, for you. And Lord, how each of us, Lord, as we go through life, our lives become a testimony, Lord, to the sacrifices we make for you and the things we do. And Lord, may we each one, may it be shown forth in our life, Lord, that what we've given up of ourselves, Lord, to see that you had a moment of our time or you had the preeminence of our lives. We thank you. And Lord, just be with those that couldn't come. And Lord, bring us back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful to me. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus before we go. One day at a time. Amen. One day at a time, sweet Jesus.
Bless you. You're dismissed.